What we've been doing during these midweek Lenten services is more of a commentary and a devotion on Luther's small and large catechism on baptism. But we'll be focusing on 1 Peter here. Chapter 3, Peter writes, "This water of the flood symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him." The Word of God. We use these just about every day, and they are recognized universally. So if I were to do this, just about anywhere in the world, most people would know that I'm not saying to, I'm saying peace. If I were to drive into a large city and see an old building and see a mural painted there, and there painted in that mural is a picture of a dove, most people would see that and think, that's a symbol for peace. Symbols, we use those just about every day. They're used universally, and even in the church we use symbols. During the season of Lent, we use this color purple. A purple is symbolic of royalty, and it is symbolic of repentance. Jesus is our King. And in repentance, when we go to our King, we know that he will give us the forgiveness of our sins. We use symbols in the church to remind us of who God is and what he has done for us. So that when your pastor does this, you are reminded, yes, Christ died for me on the cross, but more than that, when the pastor adds those words in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that is to remind you of your baptism. To remind you that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit put their name on you in your baptism, and that they made a promise to you that your sins are forgiven, that you have been saved from death and from the devil and from hell itself, and that you have been saved for an eternity in heaven. And tonight we want to look at baptism. Baptism is more than a symbol, it's a sacrament. You see, there are some folks, even well-meaning Christians, who object and say, well, baptism, it's just water. What can water do? Isn't baptism my commitment to Christ? Isn't baptism symbolic of me dying and rising with Christ and showing him that I'm on this new straight and narrow path of Christian living? Well, let's answer those questions. Yeah, baptism is just water. I'm sure that your altar care committee takes a pitcher of water, it's probably from the kitchen sink, and pours it in the baptismal font. But it's more than just water, because God attaches his name to it, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when that water is applied to an individual, God puts his name on that individual, Father, the one who planned that soul's salvation, and the Son who carried it out, and the Holy Spirit who is giving that individual the faith to believe it. God is attaching his word to that water. Out of all of the things that you possess in this world, is not his word your greatest treasure? Most prized possession? And God puts his name and attaches it to that water just for you. Because baptism is more than just a symbol, it's a sacrament. Now that word sacrament isn't found anywhere in the Bible, but one of the early church fathers by the name of Augustine, he lived in the late 300s AD, he came up with that term. And he said a sacrament is, first of all, something that's instituted by God himself. He says, go and do this. And what God does is he takes something physical and tangible, like water, something that you can see and touch. And then the third thing is that he attaches his word of promise to that. And we see in baptism that it is more than just water, but it is something that saves. We hear that from the Apostle Peter again tonight. He says, "This water of the flood symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Peter's using a symbol too, isn't he? He's using the waters of the flood. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was going to school and going to Sunday school, my Sunday school teachers taught me that the Arche was what saved Noah and his wife and their three sons and their three wives and all of the animals that were smiling happily on the ark. That's a poor picture of the ark, isn't it? But Peter here says it wasn't the ark that saved Noah and his family. He said it's the water that saved Noah and his family. We think about that. The water was what washed away all of the wicked, unbelieving people. And the water was what lifted the ark up above the carnage and the destruction that was happening in the waters below. And Peter says, this is what the water of baptism does. It saves you also. It just doesn't get any clearer than that, does it? Again, he says, baptism saves you, not the removal of dirt from your hands and your feet, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. Now I have to be honest with you. This is not the best translation of the Greek here. When it says this is a pledge of a clear conscience toward God, it sounds like it's something that I'm doing. But we've seen so far that baptism is something that God does to me and that God gives to me, that he performs for me. And so this pledge of a clear conscience, this promise that my conscience is clear before God, I can honestly say to God, my conscience is clear, yes, because of what you, Lord, have done for me in baptism. Or he might say, well, this is God's pledge, his promise to me, that my conscience is clear because he has washed away all of my sins just as he washed away all the wickedness in the flood. And isn't this what an adult goes to the baptismal font trusting that promise that God washes his conscience, his or her conscience clear? And isn't that what they receive? And isn't that what believing parents do? They trust God when they bring their little one to the baptismal font that God is going to drown that little one in the floodwaters of their baptism. And that's exactly what happens. Notice also what Peter says about baptism. He says, baptism saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus connects you to his resurrection in your baptism. And the church uses symbols to express that. You see, here you have this beautiful Paschal candle in your church. We don't have one yet. Hopefully we'll get one someday. The Paschal candle, Paschal, is that word that means Passover. Reminds us of that weekend where Jesus died and rose from the dead. And I'm guessing at your church, that candle is lit when somebody is baptized. It's also lit during the entire season of Easter. And it's also lit at Christian funerals. You see the connection. That light of the candle reminds us Jesus is the light of the world. But it reminds us that we have been raised from death to life in our baptism, spiritual death, spiritual life, from unbelief to faith. But it also reminds us that Jesus isn't just going to save our souls, but he's going to save our bodies too. Which is why that candle is lit at a Christian funeral. To remind us that at our baptism, we died already. We've already been raised from the dead. It is sure, just as Christ rose from the dead on Easter Sunday morning. And isn't that why God uses everyday, ordinary symbols, like a candle, to remind us of our baptism? Isn't that why he uses everyday, simple things like water? I have a classmate who is a pastor, and every morning he splashes water on his face to remind him of his baptism. I pray that you would not, don't necessarily have to splash water on your face, but when you do come in contact with water, let that water remind you of this passage from Acts chapter 22. Be baptized and wash your sins away. Or maybe if you drive up to Lake Michigan this summer for vacation and you stand on the beach and you look over that vast expanse of water, let that water remind you of this passage from Micah chapter 7, You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Yes, your sins are buried at something in something deeper than Lake Michigan, buried in the depths of the waters of your baptism. And we use another symbol to remind us of baptism. Oftentimes when adults come to be baptized, they wear the color white. And when parents bring their children to be baptized, they dress that child in a white gown. It's symbolic of what is actually happening in baptism. We heard this in the verse of the day, but I want to read it again from Galatians. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. That white gown is a picture of what's actually happening in baptism. That Jesus is placing his white robe of righteousness over your shoulders. And that's how God sees you each and every day, dressed in Christ. And then finally, when you do see the pastor make the sign of the cross, you can say to yourself, ah yes, that is why I am in the family of God. And maybe consider making this your habit, making the sign of the cross on your head and your heart every day. Because it's not just a Catholic thing. I don't know if you know this, Martin Luther did that every morning and every evening. And he said, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen, I am a baptized child of God. Baptism saves you. It's not just a symbol or a sign. It's not your commitment to Christ, but it's God's commitment to you, that he put his name on you, that he forgave your sins, that he saved you from death and grave and from Satan himself, and saved you for an eternity in heaven. And I pray that when you see these symbols, that you are reminded of your baptism every single day. And it is my sincere prayer that God keep you in your baptismal grace all the days of your life until you see him face to face. Amen.